Blog Talk Radio.
Of Honor Radio,
This is the season finale live on Tribe the Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly, Beverly Black Johnson. All rights reserved. We invite you to listen online via blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul or call in 515-605-9351. I'm your moderator of this esteemed panel and the co-creator of the series anthologies so named Gumbo for the Soul, Men and Women of Honor, respectively. This broadcast is dedicated to author Lady Serenity, a.k.a. Rachel Berry, my spirit sister now at rest, to whom I owe the thanks for being on the radio since 2011. It's with joy and gladness that I bring on additional chapters to the story of my life, and to do so, I must resign off air for now. I may emerge on a new stage here in Las Vegas after the books unfolding from Gumbo for the Soul Publications come to fruition this fall. Feel free to submit to our call for submissions via www.gumboforthesoulinternational.com. And now to start our show. Our guest speakers today will be discussing their journey in each of their particular fields of work, study, and or philanthropy. On the panel, we have founders, thought leaders, authors, educators, philanthropists, and people that bring a rife knowledge base in the field of finance. This roundtable discussion is sponsored in part by our panel of guests and also by author Carla Curtis and Power Taxes LLC CEO Stephen Hutchinson. So first, I'm going to begin by asking each of our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves. I'd advise anyone listening to take a few notes to refer back to your train of thought for responses or questions you may have of each other when the opportunity to do so arises. After briefly telling us about your background, answer as in-depth as needed with the remaining questions, please. We want a deep understanding of the roles we all play in our work and lives and how we maintain these positions. So, first and foremost, I am going to welcome Mr. Kevin Wayne Johnson. Good afternoon, Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson, if you would prefer to be called by your official title. But tell us, first of all, welcome here to Men and Women of Honor Radio. Thank you for your time. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, Beverly, and all the great work that you're doing. I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be with you and everyone that's listening there. I am a native of Richmond, Virginia. And I served in the federal government for 34 years as a frontline, mid-level, and senior-level leader. And in parallel with that responsibility, also very actively engaged in ministry, serving the local church as a deacon, an associate pastor, and a senior pastor. I mentioned the local church, but also very actively engaged at the district level, at the national level, and doing international work as well in the country of Kenya, Africa, helping with church development, leadership development, Bible study, and everything else that's needed in terms of being a servant leader. And then last but not least, as an author, I've been authoring books now for about 21 years. I authored the Give God the Glory series, a series of 8 books speaking specifically about the glory of God. And in this season of my life, I'm writing on the topic of leadership, specifically servant leadership, but equally important, I had an opportunity to be a contributing author as well, where I contribute my story to a number of other books, anthologies, et cetera. So in total, I have penned 18 books. Love the journey. It's been a lot of fun learning all about the publishing industry. And aligned with all of that, Beverly and everyone, I've been married for 29 years. We've raised 3 sons who are now 24, 25, and 26. And we have 1 goddaughter, and she has 2 daughters. So that means that we have 2 god-granddaughters. Life is good. I'm here on the East Coast in the state of Maryland, about halfway between our nation's capital and the great city of Baltimore. And Beverly, I think you and I have been connected now for probably a good 15 years. And I've been following your work and all the great things you're doing. You're a collaborator. You're a connector. You bring great energy, and you're making a difference. You love your community, and you love your people. So when you call, as best I can, I say yes.
Thank you so, so very much. I was reminiscing earlier, like, wow, we have been connected for so long, watching each other's journey, observing online, offline, and really, really helping to perpetuate our messages by assisting on the platforms. And I thank you for also being a contributor to the upcoming anthology, Men of Honor, via Gumbo for the Soul Publications. So welcome, Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
And thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Dr. Beverly A. Browning. Welcome, Dr. Browning. How are you, Dr. Beverly?
I'm well. Hi, Queen Beverly. I love it to talk to my namesake. I'm fine. I'm blessed. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you would like our audience to know.
Okay, well, I'm originally from Flint, Michigan. Everyone's heard of them because of the water situation. I'm now based in Arizona and have been here since 1995. I am pleased to say that this year we'll celebrate with my husband, John, our 56th wedding anniversary. Time flies when you're having fun.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I have been in the field of nonprofit capacity building and grant writing for 47 years. This year, I've taken a hiatus from writing grants, and I am doing training programs that I've created both for an online corporation, Ed2Go, doing businesses, Cengage Learning, and my own private training cohorts to train people how to write grants. I have a 16-week program and a 4-week program for freelance grant writers. Those are grant writers that are out there, stuck in a job, want a way out, and are looking to start their own small business and grow it and subcontract with other grant writers as they begin to grow. See, author of 47 books. Almost all of them are related to grant writing, grant research, nonprofit kits for dummies, grant writing for dummies, fundraising for dummies, which will be out in about another 6 weeks and will hit the bookstores. I enjoy what I do. I feel like all of my gifts are a ministry, serving under God, and I do my best to fulfill that, as well as I have my own foundation and an LLC corporation, and under my foundation, it's private operating. I do carry out philanthropic acts and help small nonprofits that I'm familiar with here in the Phoenix area and a couple that are around the country. I know you because I've been on your broadcast before. We have talked to each other. We love the fact we share the same name. And I just appreciate being invited to come back again, Beverly.
I so appreciate you, my namesake. Been watching you for a long time, and I don't think there's anyone on this earth that wouldn't want to know the knowledge that you have when it comes to grant writing. So we're going to be listening for those gems to drop from you. And I also want to say congratulations to Mr. Johnson on the longevity of his marriage to his wife as well. I believe the two of you may supersede anyone on this panel, including myself and the guests that are calling in, when it comes to longevity of marriage and the volume of books you have published. So again, congratulations to you, Mr. Johnson, Kevin, and Mrs. Browning, Beverly. We're going to all get real informal here in a minute, because I'm going to be asking all kinds of questions all up and down the row. So thank you so much for being here and being one of our sponsors as well, Beverly. And please, ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome someone that I have known for years. You're talking about someone helping me do the heavy lifting. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our panel the co-founder of Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO and the founder of Genius is Common, Mr. Bruce George. Peace and blessings, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm blessed. I'm blessed, Beth. I want to thank you very much for having me on your show, Women and Men of Honor Radio. And then also I want to really thank you for being one of my 35 ambassadors within my Genius is Common movement in terms of our publisher ambassador to your publishing company.
Thank you.
For the publishing. So I really appreciate your continued support. First and foremost, I would like to thank the good Lord for blessing all of us to be here. I want to thank the listeners for listening in live and archive. And also I want to shout out my fellow panelists, starting with Charlotte Simon, who is new to my Genius is Common movement. I want to thank her and her husband and her family for signing on. So it's a blessing to be here. Brief in terms of a little bit about myself. I'm a lover of God, child of God. My work is my ministry. I'm a social activist. I was born in Harlem, raised in the Bronx. I've lived in Brooklyn for over 15 years. I'm a New Yorker to the umpteenth percentile. Right brain, left brain, but I'm classic right brain. And I specialize in psychology, philosophy, classic literature, neurolinguistic programming, metaphysics, body language, the law of attraction. I specialize in power. I'm a wordsmith, word engineer, and a master quotologist. And so my Genius is Common movement is my latest venture or legacy that God has blessed me to create. It was downloaded into my spirit in the latter part of 2014. And thank you, Beverly, for being there from the very beginning. As you remember, when I was en route to do a speaking engagement, when I told you what the Lord downloaded into my spirit, you immediately secured the URL, geniusiscommon.com. So I really appreciate that. And so basically, I'm a firm believer that your work is your ministry. You know, God has this amazing sense of humor when he gives us this so-called free will to do what we want to do, but the fine print reads until you do what I instilled in you to do, you never have purpose and you won't be happy. And so, I'm excited to be a part of this panel, and I'm looking forward to getting it in. Thank you.
Thank you so much, my brother. And just for our listeners and our panel, you were the one that birthed Women of Honor, and it came by way of Celebrity Moms. You told me in the beginning of our partnership to honor women. You came in when we were honoring or highlighting foster care and adoption, which are areas close to my life. And this was like July 11th, 2007. And so that's how long we have been, that's how long we have been business partners. It has been a truly phenomenal ride. And we've learned a lot from each other. We've sharpened each other's swords in ways that people just would not even understand. And so to God be the glory, and thank you for being part of my story and for being on this panel with the rest of our esteemed guests. Awesome. Now we're going to get to someone. I'm sorry. What did you say, Bruce?
No, I said my pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. And you shouted out Charlotte Simon. And so, ladies and gentlemen, welcome live to Men and Women of Honor Radio, our season finale on Tribe Family Channel, our esteemed panel consisting of Charlotte Simon. Hello, Queen. How are you?
Hello, hello. I want to say thank you, Beverly, just for inviting me. I feel that this is a great opportunity and just a wealth of knowledge that I will learn in the process. And also thank you, Bruce. I'm just going to speak briefly about myself. My secular position is currently medical records, health information. I work at a very well-known hospital in Nyack, New York, as a health information service operations manager. I love the Lord. I've been saved for many years, but I have a relationship with the Lord. Instead of being religious, I am spiritual. The way I'm talking to you, this is how I talk to the Lord, and I'm just humbly grateful just to be in his presence and have him a part of my life. I have four daughters. I'm married since 2009. My pastor married my husband and I on the 18th day of our consecration. I'm also an author and a writer. I'm featured in three books. The first one is Stepping Into My Purpose, whereas I shared my experience when my mother had transitioned in 2017, and I wanted to kill myself. It was the first major transition on my family side, and I was just broken to the core. And my soul didn't know how to process it, and I was just miserable where one day I was going to take my life on 125th Street in Manhattan, New York. But I heard the Lord say, get yourself together. Fast forward, I'm also featured in an affirmation book. It's 120 Day of a Prayer. It's a very short affirmation where I just give God the glory. And the last book, which is out now, is called Doing It Afraid, and I speak about stuttering. Stuttering is a speech impediment, and as my everyday life, I try to remain focused and I try to speak calmly, whereas I don't have to stutter. I love art. I love all genres of music, and I'm just humbly grateful just to be a part of this this panel. Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you so much, Queen. It's a pleasure having you. And thank you also for being one of our esteemed sponsors with the rest of the panel. We're honored to have you here. And I think you just spoke a real word for the show. Get yourself together. See, with so many voices like yourselves on this panel doing amazing things despite everything, despite all adversity, despite pandemics, epidemics, and everything else, we are here telling it live, and I just cannot wait. There is just so much that I'm going to extrapolate from you all. You have no idea, so buckle in. And I'm thankful to welcome yet another one of our panelists. Let me scroll down and find this brother's number. I want to welcome Mr. David Newby to Men and Women of Honor Radio. What's happening, my brother? How are you?
God bless you, sister. I appreciate this opportunity. Thank you for having me. You're doing a phenomenal job, as I always say, with all you're doing with radio.
I mean,
the introductions and how you handle this is just remarkable, but I appreciate the opportunity, and hello to my fellow panelists.
You.
I'm kind of like blown away by the fact that everybody so far has came on and mentioned God in some way, you know. So I love that. It's such a positive energy, to be honest. And I just like the fact that despite us all ripping and running and doing good work and so forth, we can all get back to our base and know that we have to in some way be spiritually grounded. So I just love that that whole atmosphere that's brought on the show this evening. But you know, for me, Beverly, and fellow panelists, I'm pretty much an everyday type of guy. I do a lot of stuff, and my ultimate focus is just how can I build up God's kingdom on earth? Like, what could I do to contribute to uplifting people, to equipping people with what they need, inspiring people and things like that? So, you know, what I basically did was started a movement called the Revive Movement. Revive, it's pretty much like to revive our spirits. Started that about maybe 4 to 5 years ago. Before that, I was a business coach and consultant, had done that for several years. I've done a little bit in entertainment, done a little bit in politics. So I've done a lot in different fields. And what I think basically God was doing was pretty much equipping me to really be like an all-around type of guy. You know, you can pretty much put me anywhere, and I can relate in some way, shape, or form to pretty much everybody, from spirituality to business to the finance to real estate, you name it. So I'm an author as well. I see that some people are on the panel have published multiple books. I heard one woman, I believe, said she published like 30 or 40. That's incredible. I did one, so I got a long way to go. And I think the first gentleman, the pastor that came on, said he had like 18 under his belt. I got a long way to go, but I mean, I just want to, you know, give you kudos for that, because it takes a lot to publish a book, let alone write it, you know, in the midst of all the stuff that we face in life. So much respect, glad to be here. And my thing that I do now, I'm pretty much a funding consultant. I get people funding for business and real estate, and it all dovetails into my movement, the Revive Movement, to revive our nations, the U.S., you know, all around the world, to really bring people up, build up communities, you know, build up people's lives and marriages and everything, just really the people's spirit. So all that I do work-wise, I contribute to my movement, and I just want to help people where I can and just inspire people, because there's a lot going on, as you said, the pandemic, the whatever's lined up next, right? But, I mean, there's always a person out there that needs inspiration, and I'm glad to be here to be able to help them.
So thankful to have you, my brethren. Thank you for your kind words. We go way back, and it is a pleasure to have ourselves all gathered together and to be under the will of God for our lives, especially in a pandemic, epidemic, and with all the isms that we have to avoid and sidestep. It's really refreshing to wake up every day and to have purpose and to be able to live in the way that we do. It's truly a blessing from God that I do not take lightly. And so thank you again for being here and being one of our generous sponsors. We could not do this without all of you on here. So again, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind all of you that are listening live, you are tuned into Men and Women of Honor Radio. This is our season finale roundtable discussion. Our guests are introducing themselves, and we invite you to call in at 515-605-9351 if you're listening online. And if you are needing to go off the phone to go online to listen, you can tune in via blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Now I am going to go to yet again one of our esteemed panelists. Her name is Erin Joshua, and it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to have you, and I'm glad to hear your voice again. Sister, how are you?
I am great, Beverly. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Tell us about yourself.
I am Erin Joshua. I am a certified librarian. I am the 2021-2022 Teacher of the Year for my school, so shout out to that. I am a poet. I am a self-published author of the book Things I Only Say in My Head, which you can get on Amazon or my website at lifeunlocked.com or .org, sorry. Thanks to Beverly, I am also a radio host. I hosted Literacy Within the Black Community, and I'm going to be hosting Teacher Talks, which is coming very, very soon. I am a blogger. I am a life coach, and I am a sister, a teacher, an aunt, a friend, and I'm just excited and blessed to be here.
Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for co-hosting the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community with Alan T. Black, no relation. That's why I was like, oh, I'm glad to hear your voice again. We went off the air with that show, and I'm looking forward to you hosting your own show, Teacher Talks, and kudos to all that you do. For the poets that are on the line, if you want to check your email, you have been introduced to Mr. Bruce George, the creator and co-founder of Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO, and the founder of Genius is Common. Geniuses from all over the world, including your girl, Nikki Giovanni, Aaron. So shout out to you, and thank you for being here. And just so everyone knows, when I started Gumbo for the Soul Publications, I started with The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, an anthology that would garner over 300 submissions, including the back cover blurb of Mr. Tavis Smiley. So when I ran into Aaron and I saw that you were a certified librarian, an educator, an author, you just check off all the boxes. I said, I have got to get this woman on this show. And so it was a pleasure to blend you and Alan together, bringing the true school, new school type vibe where you filled in and bridged the gap between your generations and brought real life content very eloquently, I might add. So thank you for being here. And we have two more guests to bring on. I'm so excited about this man's journey. His name is Robert E. Lacey, and this man is doing great things in the community. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Men and Women of Honor, Mr. Robert E. Lacey. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great. I'm blessed. Praise God. Baruch Hashem. Shalom to everybody. This is an honor for me to be here with this panel today. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I'm from San Bernardino, California. You know it as the city for the terrorism attack, yes. My city is Failing, where I'm naturally born and raised from. I did 24 years in prison. Now that I'm out, I'm trying to give back in the form of philanthropy, giving back. I wrote a few pieces, a few articles while I was on the inside. That got front page recognition and notoriety. I'm currently working on other short stories and stuff like that. I'm going to have that published, hopefully God willing, by Thanksgiving, along with another book that I completed. I'm not sure if I'm going to release it November or a little bit later, but it's called African Divine Kingship Rights. It's about being your father's first son. So be on the lookout for it. I'm new to the authorship. But I'm really looking forward and just getting the material out there, getting connected with people who are positive, that's trying to do something with the information to the community and give back. So I'd like to say once again, thank you for having me here. It's an honor. It's a blessing. And, man, I'm just blown away to have a second chance, you know, to be incarcerated for a crime I didn't commit. So thank you so much for allowing me on the show.
You know what, my brother, thank you so much. And God willing, your book will be published through Gumbo for the Soul Publications. I'm so thankful. And, of course, you giving God the glory for your story. You did so much self-healing and educating. And the things that you are doing now, I cannot wait for our panel to get to know more about you. So hang tight. Let me bring in my sister girl over here, live on Men and Women of Honor. Last but not least, Randy Sherrard. This sister is a longtime associate, and we have reconnected to do some amazing things. And so welcome, Randy. How are you? Welcome to Men and Women of Honor with the rest of our esteemed panel. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, everyone. Blessings to all you men and sisters of honor. Again, my name is Randy Sherrard. I am a D.C. native, born and raised in Washington, D.C. I'm currently in Maryland for the last, in Southern Maryland for the last 20 years. I am the owner and founder of RCS School of where we revive, restore, and renew in the areas and financial areas with the focus on budgeting and building personal and business credit. Pretty much. Let's see. Wow, just like others, like I do a lot of things. And with the understanding, I don't consider myself a financial teacher or just a financial coach. I am a clarity financial coach, because if you don't have clarity about your finances, you can't go forward. And because God has given me clarity and understanding about abundance, money is just one part of abundance, I have created, with the help of Beverly, like another young lady said, the Road to Abundance show will begin in August.
Praise God.
with your help, thank God for you. So Road to Abundance will come forward, focusing and talking about abundance, mind, body, and soul, because if that is not together, it doesn't matter how much money you have in your pocket. We always hear the saying, money can't buy your love, money can't buy your happiness. That's just the truth, that it is what it is. So that's Road to Abundance radio show coming in August. Because of my heart for God's people and wanting to see people fulfill their purpose, I have created a platform, the 5 a.m. Billionaire Society Accountability and Time Management Group. This platform is for individuals in entrepreneurship, aspiring entrepreneurs, and current entrepreneurs to come together Thursday morning, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, before everyone rises and then they get busy, where they can focus on whatever it is they need to do in their business to go to the next level. Ironically, I have had individuals sit in on Saturday mornings to apply for grants because they know that's what they need to get their business to the next level. So whatever it may be, individuals come together. We come together on Zoom as if we're in the same room, and we have our affirmations, our prayer and everything, and then we go into working on whatever it is, put ourselves on meet, and we work until 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday morning, this platform takes place. Again, with the help of Beverly, I have a book coming out that we want to get out, and it's for the entrepreneur, understanding, again, what we need to do for ourselves as individuals to help other individuals, because we need to be prayed up to continue to walk in our purpose. So this book, we haven't set a date. You and I haven't set a date, but it's coming out soon. Again, this one is like a prayer journal for entrepreneurs, again, to make sure they get to the next level and get what they need to get spiritually to stay in the know, so they can continue to lead God's people. And that's it for me.
Well, amen, amen, amen. Congratulations, and it's a pleasure having you, and I'm honored to work with you with your book as well. As the CEO of Gumble for the Soul Publications and Tribe Family Channel, I am honored that we have all gathered here together to tell our stories and to hopefully build up our listeners so that they can walk in their full power and purpose. And with that being said, I would like to ask if Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson will give us a brief prayer so that now that all of our voices are here gathered together, we will be covered by the glory and the goodness of God as we enter into his presence to evoke the gifts that he has given us. Is that all right with you, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am. It certainly is. Not a problem.
Thank you so much.
Let us go to the throne room of grace. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful and grateful for an opportunity as this, relationship building, fellowship, men and women coming together of like minds, loving each other, supporting each other, being an advocate for each other. having a passion for our community, having a compassion for our fellow neighbors. And you have gifted us for times such as this to make the world a much better place. We pray tonight and this afternoon for your blessings upon our time together. Thank you so much for Beverly and the vision that you've given her and all the great work that she's doing, Gumbo for the Soul, as a literary artist, as one whose voice that we hear across the airways. And we thank you for all of the listeners that are listening in. Our prayer is that you would have us to renew our minds, that you would transform our lives, that you would help us all to better understand your purpose and plan for our lives as we come together to have good conversation, good dialogue, good communication one with another, to build each other up, to help each other out, to form new relationships, to expand our network, but equally important, to give you glory. Thank you so much for the purpose and plans that you have for our lives. And even as you bless this time of us together, we pray that somebody would be uplifted, somebody would be encouraged, somebody would be motivated and inspired to go out and to repeat what's been learned, what's been heard, so that we can build up our communities, build up our families, and build up each other. And so we thank you in advance for the outcome of our time here together. Be with Beverly on her next journey and have her to continue to stay focused and sharp and concise and crisp in the vision that you've given her to make everyone around her better. And we thank you for it. And we lift up this prayer in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. See, ooh, I'll never forego the opportunity to be prayed over like that. There.
And you know, you know, I love to pray. I love to pray. You asked me to pray. I'm like, okay, let's do this.
I remember the last time we had the pleasure of your company, you only had a limited amount of time. And you were like, okay, Beverly, I'm going to come on, but, you know, I got to go. Man, Pastor got on there, and he started moderating and making sure, because you heard, you know when you're called upon, when you can just tell what those marching orders are. And at that time, when you avowed your time and you stayed on that show and you moderated the way you did, oh, my goodness, it was just all to the glory, and it was all men on the panel, ladies and gentlemen. So I thank you once again. We're going to go back to Randy. We're going to start off the show with the lineup of questions. And so the first question I'm going to ask all of you, and like I said, you all may want to take notes, because we're going to get to a point in time where I'm going to ask you if you have a question of each other. And so, Randy, starting off with you, first question, what motivated you to enter your field of work? Hello, Randy?
Yes, you can hear me. Oh, my goodness. Okay. This seed was planted in third grade. I remember just my love for numbers. And as I grew older and matured in Christ, it was like, okay, Lord, this has to be deeper. So how do I get this where I'm serving you, I'm still my love for numbers, and I'm serving, and my love for people? How do I put all that together? And then I came up with the coaching part. First, I started out as teaching, but then again, as entrepreneurs, you know, as we go further and go along, new things develop within us. So it came to a thing of coaching and putting the biblical aspects with it, or like we have what we say. So therefore, let's speak it into existence. I mentioned my 5 a.m. billionaire society group. I call my followers billionaires because I'm speaking it into existence. Once I started the field, I went further into just added more services on and started with budgeting. You know, I'm a single mother. I wanted to see others to succeed. I wanted to get out of that stereotype that single mothers, the kids don't succeed as well as the others and all that. And I just want to make a change, and I'm still working to make that change in the financial industry.
Awesome, awesome. Robert, what motivated you to enter your field of work?
So what motivated me the most was while I was on the inside, I had the opportunity to be involved with AA as a chairperson there. And while there, I helped with other leadership roles and positions with the LTAG. We were doing a lot of fundraisers for outside organizations, kind of like Al-Anon, Alateen. We're doing stuff for Special Olympics. And I ended up doing a project for the Special Olympics, and I helped raise $60,000. It felt good to me. I never accomplished anything like that before in my life, 2015. And to see medalists come back and see the smile on their face, it just blew me away. But I always knew from childhood, being raised in the church, that, you know, my calling is to help people. And that's what I did in school, seeing people get bullied, and I wanted to fight the bully. So, and in doing so, I became a violent person back then with a lot of anger. But so that's what inspired me and helped me, was just seeing what my work can do, what giving back looks like. And I've been continuously doing it, and I want to continue to do it, and it feels good and feels great. And I would recommend anybody to pay it forward if you can. If you can help, help. If not, you know, let it be. But it's all by God's will, and I'm blessed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Aaron, what motivated you? Librarian, teacher, author, radio show host. More and more and more.
I sound pretty impressive. You make me sound good, Beverly.
You got to go at all.
When I was a kid, I remember, maybe I've been like 5 or 6. I remember I asked my grandfather to read me a story, and he told me that he couldn't read. And I just remember being blown away as a child. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You're an adult. I don't understand this. But I decided when I was 5, I was going to teach my grandpa how to read. So I put my books in my little red wagon, and I said, I'm going to teach him. He did not want to learn. But but I think at that moment, like, that was the moment that I decided that I was going to be a teacher. And I had always loved books. And so for me, giving kids the joy of reading has always been my dream. Working with kids has always been something that's been close to my heart. Even when I tried to not do it, run away from it, God was like, no, this is what you're doing. this is what you're good at. This is a part of your purpose. So for me, it was always about giving kids books and helping them learn to love to read the way I love to read. And writing for me just kind of went with that. It always kind of went hand in hand for me, writing poetry and just writing short stories, writing in my diary. So it just kind of fell into place. It's something that brings me joy, and helping children and being in the education system, even though it is a flawed system. I'm very proud of the work that I get to do with my kids, and I know that it's all a part of my purpose. So, yeah, so that's what motivates me.
Awesome, awesome. Bruce.
Hey, first of all, Beth, that's a an awesome question. You know, when you ask somebody, like, what motivates you to do what you do and be who you are? I was an activist before it was fashionable to be one. Huey P. Newton, formerly of the Black Panther Party, one of the founders of the Black Panther Party, said that he was beat into the Panther Party. You know, Ozzie Davis said it best. He said, being an African-American, however, implies that something at the core of your existence is in crisis mode or will be at some point in life. He's also said all struggles between the power to resist and the power to oppress. So just by dint of who I am and whose I am and just the struggle of being a so-called person of color, that really motivated me to be an activist, right? You see, there are a lot more ordained ministers out of church than in church. You see somebody flipping burgers, that's an ordained minister. You see somebody cleaning the streets, that's an ordained minister. You see somebody cleaning your hotel room, that's an ordained minister, right? Every last one of us on this panel, before we were even born, were ordained to do what we're doing right now. It's the Bible verse that says, God says in the Bible that before I knew you before I formed you in the belly. He knew us before he formed us in the belly. You know, and in all due transparency, you know, I was in the herb business back in the day. I'm from New York, come out of gang culture. I've been in several of them, different gangs. I used to run with Wild Stick Up Crews. I was in the herb business, and God blessed me to turn that around to be in the healing business. So one of my legacies is I'm the founder of the Bandana Republic. The Bandana Republic is a literary anthology by gang members and their affiliates. Jim Brown wrote the foreword to it. Never been done before in terms of gang literature. Right, Crips, Bloods, Latin Kings, Northerners, Southerners, Mexican Mafia affiliates, crews, cliques, sets. It was smuggled into the security housing unit of Pelican Bay, and the Mexican Mafia blessed it. And I want to shout you out, Brother Robert. We need to definitely connect, bro. I love your work, and I love your strength. And we're going to definitely do some things in the name of Jesus. So with that said, you know, activism is everything I do is out of activism. You know, and you know what's real interesting, Beth, when I tell people in all due transparency about the fact that I was in the herb business and now I turn my life around, you know, you get the judgment. A lot of the judgment that I get is from people in the church, right? Mm-hmm. And I have to, like, subtly, remind them that Lot was incestuous. Abraham was a liar. Noah was a drunkard. Job doubted God several times. Samson was promiscuous. David was a hoe and a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Peter was embarrassed to let people know he knew Jesus. Rahab was a prostitute. The disciples were weak and jealous of each other, and they fell asleep the night that Jesus was taken. The Samaritan woman couldn't keep her husband. Moses was a murderer, a liar, a stutterer, and he loved them some Egyptian women. So all have fallen short of the glory of God. So basically with that said, what has motivated me is activism, and I thank you for that question.
And I thank you. You were about to be hosting the show because if you'd have kept on going down that list, you know I don't have good sense. I'm about to laugh. But, yes, you're right. You know, and I hosted a show called The Woman at the Well, and I just really wanted it to be profoundly known that we all fall short. No, I didn't have five husbands, and right. The sixth wasn't mine, as the story of the woman at the well, Jacob's daughter. Jacob's well, but yep. I wanted the transparency of everyone coming to the same playing field. We are all flawed, and we are all gifted. And so thank you for such a profound observation. Yes, thank you. All right, David, I'm coming for you.
Okay, I'm here. I'm
just... Mr. Revival, come on and bring it.
Yeah, I'm just blown away by that list that Mr. George just left there. All the sins that we can all check off in some way or the other. But yeah, that's a powerful list there.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for me, I've just been, you know, the whole thing that, you know, what motivates me, I guess, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little business, a little bit of not having, a little bit having. I've just been through so many adventures in life, and the one thing I can say is that God has always been shaping me, as Brother Bruce said there, like, you know, you're shaped in the womb. And through all that I've been through, it's just that he kept bringing me back the whole big picture of revive, like, you know, lift my people up, encourage my people, inspire my people. So I just, you know, back in the day when I used to kind of like make it all about me and, you know, what car I can get and where I can move to and this, that, and the third, I kind of matured a little bit, and now it's more like, okay, that stuff will always be there, but how can I empower somebody? How can I equip somebody? How can I, you know, give somebody else out there some hope with life, period? So, you know, now, you know, I'm the imperfect vessel that just goes out there and does it. You know, I'm David in true form. You know, I mess up a whole lot, but you know what? I'm going to be the one that's going to go out there. I'm going to be unafraid to fall. I'm going to be, you know, you see what you get. You get what you see. And, you know, I just do that, and I just hope I can be an inspiration for people and, you know, and hopefully just meet some good people along the way. Because this whole thing about, you know, us growing and so forth, us doing our lives and living our purposes, we just meet people. We don't know how we meet them. We don't know why, but I think that what God is really doing is just building up families, whether or not they're like blood relatives, but I think he's just bringing people together in like a real familiar way where we can respect each other, love each other, and so forth. And that kind of like, to me, it just drives my purpose. It just drives it home for me because it's like, okay, this is why I'm doing it, to connect with people and sharpen my iron and I can sharpen theirs. And we just do it for the love of God, for the love of people, for the love of community. So that's just me in a nutshell.
Amen, amen. And you never know why God will bring you together with someone. So you always have to look for him in it as you walk in your purpose. So thank you so much. Charlotte.
Yes, hello.
Well,
there's two things I wanted to be growing up as a child. The first one was to be a nurse, and the second was to be a cartoonist. I didn't like the sight of blood, so that hurt but left me. However, with the cartoonist, like I said earlier when I was speaking, I do love art. However, as I grew older and became a teenager, I had a mentor who roughly mentored like 10 teenagers when I was growing up, and I was one of them. I worked at an organization called Planned Parenthood in the Bronx, New York. She trained us to do either medical records, a recovery assistant, nurse's assistant, operator, switchboard operator, and I fell in love with medical records. I indirectly found out that I could help people that way instead of being in the forefront. I received my first supervisor job when I was pregnant with my second daughter in 1990, and I have held so many roles in a medical records field, and this is my career. I love medical records. I love the background of what I could do for people. Now I'm learning more of the electronic side, and it's a blessing for me when somebody comes to me and asks for help, and I have to brainstorm in order how to get the department running or set up a system indirectly. And that's what motivates me every day is my family. I get up every day, give God the glory, and that's it. That's the motivation I have right now.
Amen, amen. All right, Beverly.
Hi. Hi, Bev.
Hi. What motivates you, Queen?
Being the first generation not to have to work on a manufacturing line for automobile manufacturers, being the first generation not to be living in total poverty, being the first generation not being an alcoholic, a physical abuser, or anything that was negative, that was important to me. I left home when I was 18 and married a good man. My husband, John, is from Arkansas, and I just said, you know, hey, this is what I want in my life, and I want somebody to help me reach that. I want an education. It took me 20 years to finish college from start to finish. I never thought that I would be a writer. Yeah, thank you. I never thought that I would be writing anything. When I started at community college, they told me I needed to be placed in remedial English and remedial math. My feelings were hurt. I thought I actually was good. I graduated with A's and B's from high school in a public school system. Excuse me, I'm going to cough just a minute.
Mm-hmm. Take your time. Clear your throat. Grab some water, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned in live on Tribe Family Channel's Men and Women of Honor Radio Season Finale Roundtable Discussion. I am Beverly Black, and I am moderating a phenomenal group of men and women. We are currently hearing from Dr. Beverly A. Browning. Go ahead, Beverly.
Thank you so much, Beverly. And I just wanted more. I wanted peace and joy. And I didn't know what that would mean. I hit a glass ceiling when I was working for a public school district in Michigan, and I couldn't get a promotion. I was being paid less than a secretary and bringing in over $3 million a year in grant awards for the district and all the local education agencies that they were over. And I went to see a psychologist because I thought it was me. And I said, is it my degree? Is it my, you know, age? What is it? And this psychologist, you know, was not of our race. And he said, sweetheart, you've hit the glass ceiling. And remember, my head was in the sand for so many years, just working and going to college and being a wife. So I said, what's that? I didn't even know what the glass ceiling was. And he explained it to me. And I said, well, what do I do? And he said, well, you can stay there and sue them for discrimination, or you can leave and do what you do for them, for yourself. And I said, are you meaning that I would be like with my own business? Because it never dawned on me that I might be a business owner, start a business. I didn't have any resources financially to do that. But my husband told me he was already self-employed. And I gave my 2-week notice. I never looked back. I've certainly had 3 times in the last 40-some years where I've just flatlined into zero with no income. And praying and listening to God and having Him guide me, it was God who brought me through COVID as far as how to pivot my business in order to have revenue. I lost, over $4,500 a month in clients, and that's a lot to me. I'll be 74 this year. So with that, I just said, do for yourself what you do for others. And I created those training cohorts. An opportunity came to me in 2020, and when the person called me, I didn't believe that it was real. I thought it was a scam. I think I hung up at least 3 or 4 times. Come to find out, this was somebody in the world of finance who wanted me to be a part of a new bank here in Phoenix. And I finally listened to him and agreed to kind of observe but not join. And after attending a couple of board meetings, I just feel like the Holy Spirit prompted me to step in and step up. So I'm excited. Our bank will likely open in the next 6 weeks here in Phoenix. I am a co-owner. I'm going to be on the governing board, one of 2 African-American members on the board. And the first in my first generation in multiple generations since slavery to be able to leave a legacy for my daughter and our granddaughter. That's important to me. So I never thought I'd be in banking, never thought I'd be taking these classes to learn, didn't think I had time for anything else but teaching and grants, and God just encouraged me to step out in faith. So I had no idea that when you're on a corporate board, you get compensated. That was like, oh, that's the bonus right there. Just didn't know. So I feel blessed, and when I'm blessed, I feel obligated to bless others. It's important. Our blessings will dry up if we don't help others that are in need, regardless of their circumstances. We cannot judge. That's God's job. We just have to help.
Well, that's the perfect segue to the pastor, but I want to say congratulations to you. I have a sister that broke the glass ceiling in banking at Wells Fargo and reached heights where, they would ostracize our people from reaching, especially being a woman of color and supposedly in a white corporate world. So, again, I want to shout out the matriarch of our family, my eldest sister, Maria. I'm sure she can relate to every word you have said. And it's a blessing that with your legacy, you've broken barriers. You've broken generational curses, but I'm going to say the generational trajectory. If you were destined to be subservient and have less than, and all of the different things that you described earlier coming from, a background, none of us were born with a silver spoon in our mouths, but some of us have had more adverse and are more of an adverse beginning than others. And what you described about your own, Beverly, I would say that you have truly, truly created the paradigm shift in your family's legacy. Congratulations, Black owned
Thank you
and
so
banking.
Much.
My goodness. Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson, you hear all of these testimonials. What motivates you?
Well, what really motivates me takes me back to my real humble beginnings as a little boy. Some of you are hearing this for the very first time, but I have one sibling, a younger brother. He's 3.5 years younger than I am. And he was born on a Marine Corps base in Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. And he was born with a mental disability. Fast forward many years later, I meet this young lady out of college, and we develop a relationship, fall in love, ultimately get married. And from our union, we have 3 sons. And my baby boy, we found out when he was 2 years of age that he's autistic. So for all of my life, from the time I was a young fella at 3.5 years old, all the way up until an adult, having fathered 3 sons, I've been an advocate and a supporter and a cheerleader for the disabled. They need us to serve them. That's where I learned all about leadership, compassion, empathy, respect, honor, and value. Because even till this day, Beverly, and it started when I was a young guy, but even till today, through elementary school, through middle school, through high school, and college, as I entered the workforce and as I entered ministry, it really, really breaks my heart when I see people being disrespected or when I see people being treated in a manner where it makes them feel less than. And that's exactly what happens to our disabled population, physical and mental. So having seen that in my family has given me a very heightened sensitivity to, you know, what is it that Kevin Wayne Johnson can do based upon the gifts that God has given me to make the world better as it relates to how we treat one another, how we talk to one another, how we love one another, et cetera. So even till today, when I see people not being treated right, being disrespected, not being valued, it bothers me. And so what have I done about it? Well, I've kind of gravitated toward being a teacher and being a student of leadership. That's the season of life that I'm in. And all of my work in ministry and all of my work in the federal government has prepared me for a time such as this. And so I'm a huge advocate, of course, for the mentally and the physically disabled. But what I have discovered is that I'm actually a huge advocate for men and women, boys and girls in general, because I'm always teaching and I'm always training and I'm always coaching and mentoring us on the utmost importance of treating people well. Now, it all goes back to Scripture because in the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse number 5, it's universally known, the golden rule. I mean, it doesn't matter what you believe and how you believe it. There are people out here that don't even believe in a God, but people know universally the golden rule. And so how can we take that very simple passage of Scripture and apply it to our lives to make sure that we do indeed take the time and the thought and the effort to treat people in the way that we want to be treated? And I teach it and I live it. I'm an advocate for it, and I align with it. and I believe in it, and I'm passionate about it. Now, when I teach this in the workplace, I don't necessarily, because of the audience, I don't necessarily quote scripture, but I let them know that what I'm about to tell you comes from scripture, because everything that deals with leadership comes from scripture. Most of the folks out there making a lot of money teaching about leadership never give credit to where credit's due, but they throw back at me something called the platinum rule, and I reject that. The platinum rule says that you treat people the way they want to be treated, but I submit to you that most people don't know how they want to be treated.
You got a preach up in
and
here.
That's a whole other conversation, because we're such a distracted, unfocused, don't understand our purpose group of people. And that's across all generations. We can't blame it on the young generation. That's across all generations. Technology has changed our lives in more ways than one. And one of the many ways that technology has changed our lives is that we're less focused on what's important, because we're so distracted with our technology. And I'm going to end here, Beverly. Now, this is something that Kevin Johnson does, not on a regular basis, but every now and again, because I'm always in a mode where I'm writing my next book, or I'm thinking about what group I'm about to mentor and coach, what audience am I going to be before to give this keynote speech. I'm always in that mode, and so I'm always thinking, and I'm always observing. I'll go to the local mall, and I'll just sit. I'll either sit, or I'll sit in the massage chair, and I just sit there very quietly, very unassumingly, and I just watch people. And if you ever did that in your spirit,
I've done it.
You'll see what I'm talking about, how distracted people are. I mean, folk can't even take a step or two without looking down at their phone, not paying any attention to who's in front of them, who's coming in their direction. And I'm watching people bump into each other. It's just really amazing. So the platinum rule to me makes no sense, because most people don't know how they want to be treated, because we're so unfocused and we're so distracted. So I hope I didn't take too much time, but that's the journey that I'm on. Actually, it's the journey that I've always been on, but it's the focus has been much sharper in this season of my life, because all that you see happening in society is because collectively our society is deteriorating. Why is our society deteriorating? Because we've lost focus of what's really important. And what's really important is the care and the welfare of our fellow brothers and sisters. We should be taking care of each other, but because we're so unfocused, life has become more about what I want, how I want it, when I want it, at the expense of others. And some people realize it, but other people don't. So that's why I said a platinum rule doesn't work for me, because people don't know what they want. They don't know how they want to be treated. So hope I didn't go too long.
You know, you dropped so many gems. It was worth listening to what you have to say. And like I said, I wanted you all to go in depth with your answers. So I appreciate you, and I appreciate all of our listeners for your patience, our panel, and everyone that is tuned in. Pastor Kevin, I want to thank you for what you had to say. And, you know, we go so far back that I've watched you and your wife raise your boys in the public's eye to have morals and standards, being men of honor. I remember having you on the platform because you had taken one of your sons to Morehouse, and I wanted you to be on this platform with the 10th president of Morehouse, by the way, whom I had the pleasure and honor of connecting with by way of Mr. Bruce George here, because I published Thelma Battle Buckner's book, who is the aunt of the 10th president of Morehouse. She met Alex Haley, Martin Luther King, everybody else. And so I had you, Pastor Kevin, on this platform with Robert Franklin, 10th president of Morehouse. And it was Morehouse president to Morehouse dad, because there's a standard in which you raising your sons have always conveyed. It's always been right there, sharp and out in the open. And it's with so much loving kindness and so much exposure to whatever they may want in this world. We've seen pictures from, you know, all over the world with you and your family, and your love and your dedication to your wife and your boys really shows, and the humanity piece and the leadership role is what stands out the most about you. So thank you for what you had to say. And we're going to go to another round of questions. I think that's all of you for this question. Got everybody checked off? Yep. So this question is, this is about the men and women of honor in your lives, but the question is a little different. I want to know, who were the people or the mentors that helped you with the heavy lifting? And by what I mean by the heavy lifting is the undergirding of what you needed in that moment and where you were trying to go. So we're going to start with Erin with her red wagon pushing back on her grandfather. All he wants you to do is eat your little graham cracker cookies and leave him alone. But you're going to force him out of his comfort zone. You know, back then they didn't even get exposed like that. And that's why it was shocking to you, this bright young lady that's about to take on the world, and here you come with your grandfather, make him read. So with you in your humble beginnings, who would you say were your mentors or the people that helped you do the heavy lifting? And it doesn't have to be in your younger years. It could be while you were going to college, while you were trying to start that business, during the ups and downs. But who were the people, the men or the women of honor, that helped you in your life when it got rough, that were the mentors that helped do the heavy lifting? Erin.
I would definitely say one of my main mentors and biggest cheerleaders is probably my daddy. My daddy was always, "You can do anything. You're the smartest person I know." Like, he says that to me to this day. Like, whenever I call him and I tell him I'm having an issue or I'm feeling down, he's like, "You can do anything. You're the smartest person I know." And so he has always been such a motivational person. And even though he nor my mother, like, I'm a first generation college student, they didn't go to college, it was always he was always telling me, "You're going to college. What college are you going to?" It wasn't whether or not you're going, it was where are you going to college. So he was always just very adamant about, "You're going to be great," like, whether you know it or not, whether you think it or not, you're going to be great. So my daddy, for sure. And my mother also, she's also a person who has been so supportive in my life. And really my oldest sister, my big sister, she has been probably one of the most amazing people that have helped me to do, you know, she's the one that helped me to decide to even become a librarian. It was a thought that came into my head, and she helped me find the information, and she was there for me while I finished my grad school degree. She let me stay with her, and she was just so motivational and so helpful. So really, my family is probably like the pillars of strength for me when I felt like this isn't what I want to do. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm not doing this right. Like, definitely my dad and my big sister were people that were like, no, you're doing it right. You're doing fine. You're going to do great. You can do anything. You're the smartest person I know. So whenever I feel, down, those are the two people that I know I can call, and they're going to lift me up.
Wow. Well, I'm going to take something out of what you said and incorporate it in the question. Let me go to Mr. Bruce George. Who is your pillar of strength? Erin said her pillars of strength, y'all. So I got to take that one.
Who are
the people and the mentors in your life that exhibited the strength to you, and were those pillars, like Erin said, Bruce?
Right.
Great answer, Erin, by the way.
Thank you.
That was a dope answer, definitely. For me, it was a journey of mentors. When I was in the streets in gang culture, a lot of my, comrades in the street, they lifted me up. A lot of people stereotype gangs and think that, and I'm not glorifying gangs. Let me just say that right now. But there's a lot of things that goes on in gang culture that is not talked about and not read about, right? So I'm not going to really go into that. But there were certain leaders that were in certain gang culture that I was able to get activated. King Tone of the Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation, he was an Inca out of the Almighty Latin King and Queen Nation out of New York. He politicized the Latin Kings. You got the Peace Stones out of Chicago. You got Jeff Fort. They politicize the Peace Stones, you just got just different gang leaders that I gravitated towards who helped get me politicized. That really put me on a political track. Then I wound up becoming a Sunni Muslim so a lot of the imams wound up getting me on the straight and narrow there, right? So then I had mentors there. Then when I started getting into literature, protest literature, because I told you earlier that I've always been an activist for many, many, many years. And so when I started to become more activated, I started getting into protest literature. So the literature that I would write was very protesty. Amiri Baraka said it best. He said, write like fists. Michel Foucault said, knowledge is made for cutting. Garvey said, agitate. So I was an agitator, and I'm still an agitator against the system. So some of the writers that influenced me was John Oliver Killens, Dr. Sonia Sanchez, Nikki Giovanni, Gil Scott-Heron, Baldwin. And the list goes on and on and on to the break of dawn. So they played a very big part in motivating me. And then now I'm just off to the races in terms of study every single day. I study a lot of intellectuals, and even when I was very, very young, I wouldn't read a book. I wouldn't read your book if you didn't have an MD or a PhD next to your name, And so I've always had an affinity towards studying and towards educating myself and educating others. So all of those intellectuals played a big part in me being on this trajectory that I'm at right now. So thank you for the question.
Absolutely. And I would offer, since I know you for such a long time, we've had many conversations, business partners for a long time, friends, and I know that your mother, your dear mother, played a very pivotal role in your love for words and language because she always used such eloquent words around you. And then I would also offer that Luis Reyes Rivera, your co-editor for the Bandana Republic that I'm holding in my hands, y'all need to get this book. Ruby D, my heart is in this book, The Bandana Republic. So, yes. Well, you mentioned
You mentioned Jim Brown writing the foreword, and his last sentence or last short paragraph of the foreword says, "My conclusion is that the human spirit will always prevail. Only the individual dealing with correctness, fairness, love, and caring multiplied a billion times will ever bring about the proper change in human behavior." Read this anthology and then check yourself. So the Bandana Republic is definitely groundbreaking because, again, you brought together in a literary art form gangs that were beefing all over the globe, and you had to go, you know, like you would say, kiss the ring and get permission to have them in this book,
yeah,
in this compilation.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate you pointing that out in reference to, and I'm going to speak on that, but the Bandana Republic is the only book of this kind. When you talk about gang literature, usually is biographical or autobiographical in nature, right? If it's biographical, then it's one person talking about him or herself. If it's autobiographical or if it's an anthology, usually it's about one gang. So the Bandana Republic made history and still continues to do so because you're talking all gangs under one umbrella. We have 8 different colored bandanas, which covers all gangs on the cover of that, my Bandana Republic. And if I didn't get permission from the shot callers, I would be dead, plain and simple, right? So I had to get permission from the Crips, the Bloods, the Latin Kings, Northern and Southerners, Lethal Mafia affiliates, Crews, Cliques, Sets, in order to have that book cover the way it is. Right, and for them to bless it. I first got green-lighted in Chicago. New York is easy for me, but I had to first get green-lighted in Chicago, and then California was next. And then once I got green-lighted in Chicago and then California, everything else was a wrap. And so, I mean, it's one of those things where it's a literary anthology by gang members and their affiliates, poetry, prose, short stories, and quotes, and interviews from gang members, gang leaders, and those affiliated, and they are all under one umbrella. And, yeah, it's been smuggled into the security housing unit of Pelican Bay, the Mexican Mafia blessing. And so that's something that I'm very, very happy about.
And the reason why I expounded on that is that I really feel as though when you're an activist, when you are pushing a narrative or a message, you have to be willing to think outside the box, and when you believe enough in your narrative, it doesn't matter who it is. You either sign on or you do not. You either believe in this message or you do not. So thank you so much for expounding even further, and I just really wanted to get it out there that Amiri Baraki and Luis Rivera were also you know, when we came together, mentors of yours. So let me go over to Randy. Yes, it's my honor. Randy, pillars that help, pillars of strength. Who are your pillars of strength?
Goodness.
We're going to have Aaron take over. Who are your pillars of strength? I like that.
My mom was now deceased. I never got a chance to actually tell her about, you know, business-wise and what I wanted to do with business. But growing up, you know, you go to vacation Bible school, you have to sitting around in the house just watching TV. It was like, learn this Bible verse, actually this chapter, and then when I come home from work, be able to recite it to me. So I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I wasn't allowed to use the word can't in the house when I was younger. That's just not the word can't. So, of course, it got better in my head that I can do all things through Christ and can. There's no need for me to say when I think I'm going to say can't, I say can. So I owe that to my mom. She passed away at 20, I guess. Yeah, I was like in my second or third year of college. So she didn't get a chance to see the age I was now when I lost my mom at 21. She just completed her third year. That's my children.
Congratulations.
She gets excited about when I my thing is, let me lay the feature out for you so you can see what mommy is doing, why we're going here, or even why we're with this struggle. And she sees it. So it can't get to a point where she actually tells her friends, she tells her friends that I'm her motivator, and they find it to be very inspiring. It's like, wow, your mom supports you in everything you do. You said you want to do this, and your mom took off with it. And so, because it's a, well, I guess for me and her both, it's just a thing that we reciprocate. Because if I leave that legacy for her, she can go forward. She understands what I'm trying to do. So it's like, hey, we in this together. So presently, you know, living, I can't say my daughter. Fortunately, I have family members who still believe it need to be a 9-to-5, 401k, good benefits, girl, and retirement. You ain't got time to juggle independent entrepreneurship. So I don't have, everybody don't have my back with that. But I'm okay. I'm okay because God is good. So I give it to my two ladies, my mom and my daughter.
Amen for your testimony. Everyone's not going to understand your vision. God didn't give them the spiritual view into what he placed into your spirit. That's why we can't go running and telling everybody and trying to get them to sign on, because they can't see it. They can't see it. They don't have the spiritual vision that God has given to you. And when you do find someone that's on that page, embrace that. That's your pillar of strength.
Yeah, exactly.
Erin, I'm not going to try to copyright or write nothing about it. I'm just using it for the show. It's yours. Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson, pillar of strength.
Yes.
Yes. Mentors, people in your life, those that help you do the heavy lifting, that exude the strength of being one of those four pillars, cornerstone. Who would that be? What's your testimony?
Probably Dad. Dad served in the Marine Corps for 20 years, oldest of seven children. Just last weekend, we celebrated his 85th birthday, still standing strong, still going strong.
All right now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Always taught me about being prepared. Didn't quite understand what that meant when I was a young pup. But as I got older, it made a lot of sense. He just used the two words, you know, Kevin, be prepared. That's what he always said, be prepared. But what I found out, what that actually meant, is he was telling me it's always better to be prepared and not have an opportunity than it is to have an opportunity and not be prepared. That's what he was teaching me. Yep, absolutely. I'll say that again. It's always better to be prepared and not have an opportunity than it is to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So he's been the cornerstone. I watched his example. I listened to his words, and I basically emulated what I saw. That's where I get my discipline from. And I still, you know, even as we speak, I still iron my pants and iron my shirts before I go out in public, still get a haircut every 2 weeks. All of that.
All right,
all of
now.
That came from being the son of a U.S. Marine. So very, very instrumental. And I've had an opportunity to make sure that my sons have a good, strong relationship with him so he can also speak some words of wisdom into their lives. And it's been an absolute joy. So that would be my response. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I didn't really get a chance to know my grandfather because he passed when I was young. I was about 5 years old. I remember the funeral at their home. I remember seeing his casket draped in a U.S. flag because he was in the U.S. Navy. But I was about 5 years old, didn't really get a chance to know him. But from what I am told from the family historian, is that my dad and his other brothers, my uncles, they have the same mannerism, the same behavior, the same characteristics as my grandfather. So so as you can hear me talk,
Lord.
You know, family is very, very key and very, very important. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what got it all started.
You know, I can just imagine the men of honor before you, and knowing you as a man of honor and then seeing your sons, you could just see the legacy. You can just see it. So thank you so much. Beverly.
Hi. My grandmother raised me from the time I was 9 months old until I was 13 years old, and she had already survived 5 heart attacks and raised 5 children on her own, 4 of which
actually went
to college. She was the first generation after slavery was ended. Her parents were slaves that were freed. So she taught me hard work and respect and the value of reading and getting good grades. That helped me.
Wait, let me stop you.
Uh-huh.
I'm so sorry. I have to stop you for a minute. So you are speaking of your grandmother, right?
Yes.
And her parents were enslaved.
Yes, they were slaves in Springfield, Illinois.
So your grandmother, was she born into the sharecropping era?
She was born after sharecropping, but she had to leave school at third grade to help her mother do laundry for the wealthy white people in Springfield.
Ooh, so, you know, leaping over that sharecropping era is another trajectory of change, a paradigm shift. If your parents are enslaved and you are not born into sharecropping, that's a paradigm shift right there. And then she's telling me, that's why, by you saying that she's pushing you into education, when her generation would have been part of the generation that would not be, you know, aspiring in education. They would be, you know, too far into the cotton field. Let me just get it out, you know. So I'm just like, I'm blown away. I'm blown away. So I'm sorry to cut you off, but go ahead.
She
pressed you
about
getting a good education.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She was my inspiration on getting good grades, getting an education. She told me about her life and how hard it was and what happened to her and how she had her first child out of wedlock by a visitor that came to stay at her parents' house for a lengthy time, and how rough her life was until she met, you know, my grandfather. He was from Louisville, Kentucky. So living with them 13 years, and the only focus was school. I did not have to do any chores. I did not have to learn how to cook. I didn't, because I still don't cook well. But she just focused on do your homework, get, you know, all A's, and do something with your life and take advantage of it, because I didn't have this chance. So that was important to me. And then I, you know, went home to live with my parents when I was 13, became streetwise, got into a ton of trouble, but then realized that the only way out of what they were doing was to focus on education and someone who would help me get it, and that was my husband. When I started community college, I had support with some grants from local community civic leaders in Flint, Michigan. And when I went to the University of Michigan for my master's degree, I worked a full-time job Monday through Friday. I was in school 4 nights a week. I worked for a pharmacy as a retail clerk on Sunday because we were so poor, and studied in between and never lost that you know, GPA at the university. So I also credit former Chancellor Clinton B. Jones, who realized that when I was going to night school, my daughter would sit out in the hall outside the classroom because I didn't have a babysitter and my husband had a business and he was working like 16 hours a day. And professors would always say, you know, she can't sit out there, you can't bring her. And finally, somebody complained to the chancellor that there was a child sitting in the hall reading books and eating snacks outside the classrooms. And he came down and asked, you know, to my daughter, who was very little, who's your mom? And she told him, and he came in and he asked if I could step out. And I thought for sure I was going to be expelled or given some penalty for this. And he just said, tell me your story. And I did. And he said, that's all I need to know. And he said, there will be a ruling made immediately that any parent who is attending here and needs to bring their child with them because they have no other means, they can sit outside the classroom, outside the door, and the professor is to leave the door open so you have eye contact with your child at all times. And we'll also have security beyond, you know, going around constantly making sure everything's okay. That was the beginning of, wow, people really want to help me. The next thing that really made a difference in my life was former Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm. She came to do a speech on the University of Michigan Flint campus, and her speech wasn't going to be until late in the afternoon. I left my job at 10 o'clock in the morning to sit outside the auditorium on the floor and wait. And when she got there, she came in with her, you know, entourage and with the chancellor, who by then knew me obviously very well. And he said, well, we don't, you know, this doesn't start till later, and you need a ticket from the student union to get in. And I said, I just want to talk to Representative Chisholm. I, you know, have read her book, and it means so much to me. And she said, come on in, and let's spend some time together. And that just blew my mind away that she would do that. She didn't know me from anybody. And yet she spent time with me. She gave me a copy, another copy of her book, and signed it. That, too, was a turning point in my life, that people care. They don't care who you are, what you have. She didn't even ask me my story. She just wanted to talk to me as woman to woman to encourage me to always stay on track, to study, to do my very best, and to make a difference wherever I was going to reside at. That was a huge lesson. The final lesson came from when I was working, actually a little bit before that, when I was working on my bachelor's degree at Spring Arbor College in Michigan. And my instructor or campus director was Reverend Dr. Joe Kulaga, who has since passed. But he just reached out and he said, you know, I want to help you get this degree. I want to help you put all your credits together because you've been in college a long time. And nothing is going toward nothing. So let's get you into the accelerated program to get your bachelor's degree in 1 year so you can go on to graduate school. And then I want you to come back and work at the Flint campus for the college and to help us out and to be a coordinator over our healthcare services program. So out of nowhere, opportunities just kept coming. And I can't tell you how many times I should have died in careless behavior when I was a teenager that I didn't. I walked away from so many accidents, incidents, events where other people died and I didn't. So I guess I put it all together at Spring Arbor, and it was like God must have a plan for me because I've had more than 9 saves. And I'm still here. So I need to listen, and I need to pray, and I need to read the word, and I need to figure out what he wants me to do. I'm not going to tell you my life has been a breeze. It has not. I have overcome a lot. I have buried a son, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed in so many ways.
I'm sorry.
I'm just grateful. You know, I work 7 days a week. I did not think I would be 74 and working 7 days a week. But you know what?
look at Noah, look at everybody, look at all the people in the Bible who lived to be in the hundreds of years and miracles happened in their lives. And so if that's God's plan for me, then I'm in, I'm ready, I'm willing. I am receiving the blessings and I am giving thanks and praise every day, all day.
Praise him, praise him, praise him. Just, I hear so many paradigm shifts, trajectory changes, and where your life could have wound up one way, it went another way. And for Shirley Chisholm, the late, great Shirley Chisholm, to embrace you like that, that's when you know the weight of your crown and the impression that you can give to someone just by allowing them in your presence, in your company, not being too greater than, but equalizing the playing field and allowing access to you. So that's a beautiful thing and a beautiful testimony. So thank you again. Robert.
Thank you.
Yes. Good stuff. Great question. I love it. Yes, yes, amen.
That's Aaron.
So for me, it had to be my father. They raised me, Bobby Lacey, very strong alpha male, taught me all the traits of what it was to be a man, taught me how to clean, right, properly. He was also in the military, in the Army, so I had that structure in my life at an early childhood. But what's most important is, I've never seen him give up. He always kept a job, kept a roof over our head, kept food on the table for me, my brother, and my sister. Very strong, powerful man. He helped me with my problem that I had, dyslexia. I had a problem reading as a young child. I was behind. My mom and father had got a divorce, and I was back and forth, and I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't get the reading and the understanding and the academic part correct. But he took his time with me, allowed me to read the Bible from 6 to 7 every day without judging me, and, you know, what helped me and assisted me every day. And we're talking about months on end until I finally got it. And it was a wonderful thing. We used to drive down the street and he'd be seeing signs and he'll say, well, read that. And then I'll read it. And I'll feel so good because, you know, no one has taken that time, you know, with me to help me with my personal issue. So I would say my father and my other mentors would be my brothers, my sister, my stepbrother, and my brother. Michelle, of course, a person who supported me while I've been out, very, very supportive. God forced, first and foremost, without believing and having faith, I wouldn't be here. I knew that I didn't belong inside, and I knew I wasn't going to peril and die like that. So I kept that faith, and here I am. I'm still doing good things for people and for myself, and thanks to him, I'm here with those traits.
Praise him, praise him, praise him. Charlotte.
Yes. I would say my pillar of strength was my mother. My mother allowed me to be Charlotte. I am the second oldest of 4 children and a middle child. So I was very vocal. I'm still vocal. If I need to be disciplined, my mother was the disciplinarian. And she was just how Miss Beverly spoke about her mother. My mother was, or her grandmother, my mother was a survivor of breast cancer of 30 years. She was a survivor of 2 heart attacks, a survivor of strokes. And at the end of the day, what took her life, well, her transition was sepsis. But my mother was a fighter, a survivor. My mother was the first woman that I've seen in my lifetime that wore her hair natural when it wasn't even supposed to be natural. My mother wore her. I was born in 1965, and all my life, my mother's hair was natural. She was for black people in general. She taught us to be strong, independent leaders
in our own right out of her four children. And she just taught us just to be strong-minded leaders and independent. And when she transitioned, that's why it was so rough for me personally, even though she, like I said, she had four children. When she was making that transition, she started calling me queen. And that's when I knew she was passing the baton over to me. I didn't understand it, or I didn't want to believe it, but she was slowly but surely passing the baton or changing of the guards. And so and when she transitioned, I have to also give credit to my daughters. They allowed me to be Charlotte, and they allowed me to be mommy. If I act up, they tell me, you know, in a nice way, you know, you need to get yourself together. You're a mother. You know, stop acting like Charlotte. So, and even my friends, when I need to go, I will say to the left, my friends allow me to be Charlotte for a minute. And when I need to fall back in line and to be the mentor Charlotte or the minister in training, I'm able to do that also because the world is so crazy and rough. But I have to give all the credit to my mother. She has made me the person who I am today. I love her energy, and I can feel her energy as we speak and now. And that's why I give my credit to her. She was just a fierce, strong woman in her own right. And no one could ever take her place. She just allowed me just to be me. Even when I was acting like a brat, she allowed me to be me, and she encouraged me. She never said what I couldn't do, which I was always so grateful for that. And maybe that's, I feel that's why I'm the leader that I am today, because she never told me what I couldn't do. She just made sure that I stayed focused, grounded, respectful, as the pastor said, respectful to one another, respect your elders, and yes, learn. You have to be treated a certain way. Don't let people treat you any type of way. And I was defender of my siblings, even though I'm the shortest one in height, but I was the defender of my siblings. And I also have to give credit to my younger brother for when my older brother passed away, my younger brother was my backbone. And he held me up when I wanted to act up, and I couldn't falter to the left or the right. He had my back even to this day, 110%. So I give credit to, like I said, my mother, my younger brother, and my daughters.
Amen, amen, amen. And last but not least, David.
Yes, just listening to all these incredible stories, I appreciate everyone sharing it. It's just like, it brings it home to me. I know that the whole thing with my mother being there, I kind of grew up in a single-parent household. You know, we didn't have a lot growing up, but I learned to be resourceful because my mother always held us down. She was always creative, always getting out there hustling and working and so forth to, you know, put food on the table and things like that. And, you know, coming up young, I kind of learned the work ethic. I learned that from her. And, you know, growing up, I had a lot of friends in the neighborhood and so forth who teach me how to do little hustles, like, you know, shoveling people's snow and things like that, you know, raking the lawn and cutting grass and all that stuff. And, like, you know, 10, 12 years old, we knew how to put money in our pockets because, you know, we had to get the next shoes we wanted or something like that. So we always had a way to make some money when I was young. That kind of, like, instilled that in me to the fact of, you know, being able to work with what you have to get what you want. That pretty much stuck with me through high school and everything. I always had a pretty decent work ethic. You know, and I got kind of like in my late high school or early college years, I kind of drifted off a little bit, kind of like ran the streets a little bit, hanging with the wrong crowd, so to speak. But it happened one day where I was actually like learning about God back then. I was like maybe 20, 21, 22, something like that. And I had prayed because I heard about, you know, Solomon and how he prayed for wisdom and this, that, and the third and how he got wisdom. And I had prayed one night. I came in from work, and I prayed to God. I was like, I didn't even know God back then. I was just like, maybe you exist. Maybe you hear me. Maybe you don't. I don't know. I'm just going to pray this prayer, and then I'm going to go to sleep. So I prayed the prayer, you know, that he would give me some wisdom and knowledge, and then I just went to sleep. And then when I went to sleep, I just couldn't sleep the night away, and something just told me just to get up and read the Bible, right? And I happened to have a Bible that, you know, just was, I didn't really read it much, but I happened to have a Bible. I read it. I went to go read it, And the very first page that I opened up, I had not, it wasn't even bookmarked on that page. The very first page that I opened up was Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, and it starts off, it says, "My son, if thou liftest up thy voice for knowledge and understanding," you know, then it says something like, "then will I be here to give you knowledge and wisdom and understanding." I was like, you know, I was blown away by that, and that pretty much showed me, like, I was scared because I was like, wow, God exists, and God hears me, and he knows my thoughts, and he knows what I'm, he's looking at me right now, and he knows all of my sins and this, that, and the third. He knows I've been running out in the street and this, that, and the third. So as soon as that happened, I called my mother. She was like, you know, in mother fashion to son, like, yeah, boy, you know, yeah, he knows you. He's God. He's really alive and this, that, and the third. So at that point, that's when my life, you know, the motivation that he gave me, you know, him being the Lord, that I can turn to him for everything that I need. I can turn to him to come to, you know, come to situations like this where I'm learning from y'all. I can come to him, and he leads me to the right business contacts. He leads me to the right experiences, good, bad, or ugly, right? I learned from him. So I became a sponge, and I learned, like, you know, through all my trials and ups and downs in life, that once I put God first, the right people will come along. He's brought people in my life with you know, great business contacts in the world of finance, great business contacts in the world of SBA, people that have taught me, you know, just to be, just how to stand up as a man, how to be smart, how to think and things like that, from family on down to friends and colleagues. I've just been blessed to be around a lot of good people. And the one thing he's given me above all is that I think he's given me the courage to go out there and try, right? I'm not afraid to fall. I'm not afraid to be first. I'm not afraid to be laughed at. And I just learned from my experiences because God just, you know, he's there for me. I know that he's my shelter. I know that he's my rock. And no matter what I go through, I can stand up knowing that he's got my back. So I would have to say, like, he's the number one motivator. But again, I'm just a sponge. I'm learning from y'all. I'm kind of quiet, like listening tonight. I'm learning from all the different experiences everyone brings to the table, all the gifts that everybody has. I'm a sponge in life. I just learn from everybody. I'm motivated by everybody. And I take that, and in some way, shape, or form, you best believe that some of this motivation that y'all have shared tonight, it might get out, so y'all might have to sue me for copyright infringement or something like that. But y'all share a lot of great words. I appreciate it. I'm inspired. And I know a lot of my people are going to be glad that I came here because I'm benefiting a lot from it.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so, so very much to all of you. Thank you for being here, spending your time, your talent, giving us your testimony to your strengths as well as your weaknesses, to those that have been meaningful mentors and pillars of strength, as Aaron Joshua has so eloquently evoked here on this panel. So, again, I want to thank all of you for helping me go out off of the air onto another plateau. I'm taking a hiatus so that Gumbo for the Soul International and our publications can be brought forth. So this has been an amazing testament of strength, of life, of love, and of just sheer transparency. We're not perfect, but we know that, one, we know from whence our blessings flow. And I can't thank you enough, David, for really expounding about a true living God. A lot of people don't want to hear religion. Like Charlotte, you were saying, it's not about religion, okay, but it is about a true living God. And since we are created by a creator and we're experiencing creation, I don't know how we could avert our attention away from God Almighty. So I want to thank God for all of you taking the time to be here to help me close out this season. I'm going to go around one more time, and I'm going to ask all of you to let our listeners know how to reach you, where you are on social media, and how you would like to be contacted for your particular branch of business. So I'm going to start with you, Charlotte. Where can our listeners find you if they want to connect?
Okay, the best way I would prefer the listeners to connect would be at Charlotte's, well, the IG is Shaw's Web of Artistry. I'm also on Facebook. You could also reach me at charlottesimonrowson@gmail.com. Also, lastly, it will be charlottesimonrowson@yahoo. And then one more. This is I'm also coming out with a future website, and I'll probably just put that on a separate page going forward. I'm waiting for that to be – it's actually going to launch any day, and it's called Simon Says Right Now. And I'm just – I just wanted to lastly just say this. Thank you for the opportunity, Beverly. I heard the Lord say just a few minutes ago, and I know it's just an introduction, but I heard the Lord say – this came to my spirit, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And for this panel, I just want to say this is going to be a blessing for all of us, and I just want to say I'm humbly grateful to be in your presence, and thank you again, Beverly, just for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you so much for making it possible, for being a sponsor, and for sharing your presence with us. So, again, thank you so much. Beverly.
Hi. I would just like to say the best way to contact me is either through my website, bevbrowning.com, or if you're on LinkedIn, please invite to connect with me. It's under Dr. Beverly Browning. You can easily find me. Just Google, and it will lead you to the links. All of my communications are predominantly on LinkedIn. And I just want to leave this with all of our listeners. Leave a legacy. Don't leave a trail of destruction. Don't leave debt. Don't leave a hoarder house. Get your act together. There is no promise about tomorrow, whether you're listening and you're 17 years old or you're 77 years old. Start getting your house in order so God can take you home and you don't leave a lot of distress behind you.
Amen, amen, and thank you so very much as well. Randy.
Yes. I can be reached at a whole lot of ways. So the easiest way and the most to get the best response from me is on my Facebook page. That's Randy, R-A-N-D-I, Walking in Favor, W-A-L-K-N-N-F-A-V-O-R, Sherrod, S-H-E-A-R-O-D. And you can message me. I pay attention to my messenger, and I will respond. You can also go to my business page. Currently, it says Road to Abundance, Financial Road to Abundance. You can go to my business page there, and the direct number for RCS 4UP is 1-800-862-9938. Again, that is 1-800-862-9938. Website is coming soon.
All right, all right. Thank you so very much. Erin.
You can find me on Facebook as Erin Joshua. You can find me on Instagram at lady_Joshua1. And you can find me on my website, which is lifeunlocked.org. That's lifeunlocked.org. So that's me.
Thank you so very much. And Mr. Kevin Wayne Johnson can be reached at writingforthelord.com. He is no longer on the line, but he can be reached at writingforthelord.com. And we thank him for praying us in and receiving this lovely panel. So, again, thank you. David.
Yeah, once again, Beverly and all the panelists had a tremendous time learning and connecting. This is like the type of situation I like, just coming around good people. So it's been a great time for me here. I want to remind people that, you know, if you ever need funding for your business, for your real estate ventures and so forth, hit me up. contact me, even if you don't need funding. Connect with me. I'm an empowering type of guy. I love people. We support people. And, you know, what I say with my Revive movement is come get this love. Come get the support from all of my people. We think alike. We love people. So you can find out more about me at revive-movement.com, revive-movement.com. Once you go on that site, you're going to see all my social media. I got Facebook. I got LinkedIn. You know, you can connect with me on any of those channels. I also have a LinkedIn group called The Empowerment Zone. We have about 11,000 members. Come on, hang out with us, get empowered. We're just here to connect with people and just sharpen each other and just be a blessing. So I like positive people and looking to connect with everybody that is willing to take it a step further, because a lot of these events, we all go to them, but let's see how we can go to another base and another base and another base and kind of like grow with each other. So thanks again, Beverly. Thanks again, everybody. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you so very much as well. Robert.
Yes. You can reach me at my business line at 310-467-2638. Or you can reach me at RobertELacey2020@gmail.com. I also can be reached at Facebook at Robert E. Lacey and Instagram. This was a wonderful experience. I learned a lot. I'm still going to learn a lot. I'm going to go back and re-listen to this. This is good stuff. It's just, I'm blown away. I shouldn't be here, but I'm here and I'm honored. I'd like to thank everybody for everything that you gave to me right now. It's very empowering. I've never, you know, been in a circle like this before, but it's wonderful, and thank you for the opportunity.
It's our honor, privilege, and pleasure, and thank you so very much. And last but not least, it's almost like closing where we begun. Mr. Bruce George, first of all, let me thank you again for birthing the honors series. When you came into Gumbo for the Soul, it was, again, July 11th, 2007, with Here's Our Child, Where's the Village? And I'll never forget,
wow,
you told me that your job was to make sure that I didn't have to go to work anymore. And I was like, okay, let's do
exactly.
it. That sounds like
exactly.
a plan to me. And I will have to testify that I have not been on anyone's job since I was 50 years old.
Amen.
I will be 63 June 16th, and I'm thankful and grateful for what you have brought into Gumbo for the Soul, as with all of our panelists, for making it possible for us to all be here on Tribe Family Channel. And Tribe Family Channel was created for the books, the anthologies, to have a continued voice. So we started off as Gumbo for the Soul Radio. You were right there with me, with Rachel Berry, a.k.a. Author Lady Serenity, rest in peace. Yes, and you're one of the few people in my circle that knew her that would rock with, you know, the way we did business and still do, making phenomenal connections, raising the bar, and having accountability mm-hmm. for our actions and what we do on the daily. So I just really want to thank you for seeding into my life. I have met so many phenomenal people due to our interactions and the way we connect. You introduced me to Nikki Giovanni. You introduced me to Most Deaf Mother, Sharon Umi Smith. Ruby D. Davis used to take my calls because of your connection. You know, Dr. Thelma Battle Buckner, rest in peace, whose book I published, who through you I met The Sounds of Blackness, the 10th president of Morehouse. We made connections and continue to carve out different lanes and lines of businesses, and we saw a lot of growth come out of our camps. And, of course, you mentioned Genius is Common. Amen. You mentioned, you know, when you founded Genius is Common and that journey. And, you know, there's been a lot of crisscrossing across the globe, a lot of virtual connections and different people that have come on this platform. We shared the friendship with Sheila Ray Charles, rest in peace, Ray Charles's daughter. And God bless her that, you know, you're the one who called me on my birthday to tell me that our dear friend had left the day before. And so I just really want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. I've made a lot of connections, and I've made a lot of money working with you. You know, not just connections, but I've made a lot of money with you. I've published a lot of people. And vice versa. And so it's just really been a real joy ride. And you used to tell me early on that I was going to experience pinch me moments. Remember that?
Absolutely.
And I experienced so many pinch me moments, I can't even begin to expound. I've been the brand manager for Tuskegee Red Tails Airman Colonel Richard Tolliver. I'm currently part representation for the founder of the Black Panther Party, Bobby Seale. So if anyone wants to get to Bobby Seale, get with Beverly Black Johnson at gmail.com. It's a matter of a simple email. You had Kanye West's mother ready and available, rest in peace, to submit to Women of Honor. Alicia Keys' mother, Puff Daddy's mother, Sean Puffy Combs' mother. So there were so many people that you recommended come into Celebrity Moms that I had to convert it into Women of Honor. And we focus on breast cancer awareness. We then turned Men of Honor into existence. And through that, we had permission through the family of Michael Jackson to honor his humanitarianism. And there's just so many others and so many different lanes of ministry, because what we do, our work is our ministry. And you helped sharpen my sword. I consider myself a master quotologist, which a quotologist is someone that engineers words into quotes, and that's what we do. And so from the bottom of my heart, Mr. Bruce George, I just want to thank you for how much that you've seeded into my life and undergirded this ship, this command center. We've sharpened each other's swords, and we've brought a lot into fruition. So once again, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for the wonderful ride from all of our viewers, listeners, the people that have held it down, that have co-hosted so many shows, that have taken the helm and just have really made this all possible. I could never have done anything of this magnitude without people like you. I better stop because I can feel myself getting emotional. I also want to thank author Lady Serenity, a.k.a. Rachel Berry, my spirit sister now at rest, to whom I owe the thanks for being on the radio since 2011. Without her guidance, my matriculation to serve with excellence would have never matured. You are loved and dearly missed. I'm signing off the air this evening with joy and gladness as I bring on additional chapters to the story of my life. Thank you to all of you who have supported me, too numerous to name. Stay tuned for the unfolding of the upcoming publications from Gumbo for the Soul International. Be sure to submit your story also. We have 5 current calls for submissions out. Men of Honor, the second edition, of which Pastor Kevin Wayne Johnson and many others are a part of, Alan Black, J. Elliot Howard, just so many dear people. Women of Honor, 2, the forward is by Dave Chappelle's mother, Dr. Yvonne Sion. She is a dear friend, and that's someone else that I met by way of the chain of connections through you, Bruce. And last but not least, I want to thank my family. They have had to listen to Gumbo for the Soul, Tribe Family Channel, forever, forever, ever, ever. It was never going anywhere. Through all adversity, I have created all kinds of brands right here at the home of Tribe Family Channel and Gumbo for the Soul. So, again, to all of you within the sound of my voice, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Last but not least, my mother, Hilda Rose Noel, reigning in heaven, my father, Homer, Joe, Black Senior, all of my friends, family, and loved ones, my sister, Anita Jacqueline Wilbon, my sister listening, Maria Edwards, and you know, my sons and daughters, those that have held me down, and even the bosses on my job, they knew I wasn't there for them. I want to thank them, too, because if I had to choose between the job and Gumbo for the Soul, it was Gumbo for the Soul all day, and they knew it, so they lived with it. And for all of you that have been patient enough also to bear with the forthcoming anthologies that are, they are long awaited for, and this is why I have to separate the brands, get off the radio. But I want to tell you, forthcoming is Soul School Music with Marshall Thompson, The Last Man Standing of the Shylights, August 24th, 2022 on his day. That will drop out of Gumbo for the Soul Publications. The Book of Raheem from Raheem of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five will be dropping out of Gumbo for the Soul Publications February 13th, 2023 on his birthday. August 24th is also my firstborn's birthday and Dave Chappelle's birthday. So we're going to be celebrating Gumbo for the Soul, Men of Honor, Women of Honor, Suicide is Not the Answer, Call to Serve, and and Incarcerated Mothers Matter. Thank you, Lord. So, again, thank you all so very much. Bruce George, thank you for always being there, holding me down. And last but not least, we want you to let everyone know where they can reach you.
Yeah, I'm Googleable. Just put my name in Google and you'll find me. And then also, I would implore your audience to go to geniusiscommon.com, nothing is spelled funny, geniusiscommon.com. And definitely, Bev, I'm looking forward to you connecting the panelists with me by way of you so I can entree them into the Genius is Coming movement. The panelists are super dope, and what they're doing is super dope, so I definitely want to roll out the red carpet for them.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much once again to all of you. Without you, this would not be possible. And I signed off again. I sign off again with joy and gladness in my heart. And I just want to thank you all for making it possible with all my love, with all my heart, and with all my soul. I promise you that I will continue to serve with excellence via Gumbo for the Soul Publications, Tribe Family Channel. And you can reach me at www.gumbofortheSoulInternational.com, on Facebook at Tribe Family Channel, or at Gumbo for the Soul. I'm on LinkedIn as Beverly Black. I am on Twitter at Tribe Family US and at Gumbo for the Soul. You can listen to the archives of this show via blogtalkradio.com/Gumbo for the Soul. And later in the year, after the books are published, I will be re-emerging. I just don't know on which platform that new level of emergence will come. But again, thank you again from the bottom of my heart. And be sure to visit our website and submit to our anthologies, Men and Women of Honor Radio on Tribe Family Channel. Is a Gumbo for the Soul international brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly. And it has been an honor and a privilege and a privilege. Good night and God bless.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This song is for the children and their dreams. You can be a lawyer, doctor, and even a president. All you got to do is believe.
My Family Channel.